Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at NewBalance.com.
The road to Roland Garros continues on the red clay in Spain. Welcome to TC Live as we get you caught up on all the biggest news and highlights from this massive combined 1,000-level event in Madrid. A lot to discuss over the next half hour. The legend takes on the young buck. 37-year-old Rafa Nadal giving a masterclass to American teen Darwin Blanche. What it means for the five-time champ moving forward. Plus, Coco Gauff could get to world number two for the first time in Madrid. See what other personal history she made inside the magic box today. And the hottest player on the WTA right now, Danielle Collins, bringing her 13-match win streak to Spain. Can the Danimal go back to back to back for the first time in her career? With that, we say hello and welcome inside our studios in Santa Monica, California. Steve Weissman, Coco Vandeweghe, Hall of Famer Andy Roddick on the big screen. Day three in the books in Madrid. And how about this? The last three matches on Manolo Santana Stadium went like this. Love, love, one, love, one, four. Domination.
I mean, I've seen a couple of sets go that way for me on clay, you know, against me. But I wanted it to kind of transfer, you know, where I would have those kind of victories. But, you know, it's a tough ticket, that center court. But everyone got to see their favorite players, hopefully, and there's going to be better tennis to come.
Well, I thought clay was supposed to be these long, drawn-out matches, Andy.
Well, they are, but this is the danger of having every event be 11 days. You're going to get some duds. I have a quick observation for Coco, though, because I know she's been in that stadium. I'm about to tell you something you're never going to be able to unsee because I see it in every highlight.
Oh, God.
Tell me that stadium court doesn't look just like the inside of a Chipotle restaurant.
Oh, my gosh. It totally does. I was actually thinking that's where I was going to go for lunch because it's right by my hotel out here. But it absolutely does with the iron and everything.
Yep.
And you see that roof close. It just feels like, you know, I'm going to get that burrito bowl with you know, the extra guac on the side. It absolutely has that vibe.
Always extra for the guac, no matter what. Those avocados, for some reason, they just cost a little bit more. All right, let's start with the legend himself. Rafa Nadal, record 56 wins, 5 titles in Madrid. This was his most recent trophy, defeating Dominic Thiem back in 2017. Nadal also won the title here in 2008, 2010, 2013, and 2014. So Rafa making his 20th appearance in Madrid this year. His opponent, Darwin Blanche, did not exist on the planet for 4 more years, Andy, when Nadal first played here.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, Darwin Blanche has a lot of future ahead of him. Hopefully that involves getting a driver's license. But he played a man today, Steve, a grown man. And Rafa, when he gets that forehand in the middle of the court, this is a helpless feeling because he can go either way, decides to play it line, even though you have to cover the cross. It is a brutal decision to have to make, and he had to make it a bunch today. Rafa, the movement looks good, reflexes look good, and obviously some home cooking probably tasted pretty good. This was downhill snowball from the beginning. Listen, 16-year-olds can't extend the court that way where the ball is landing outside of the doubles alley after one bounce consistently. Rafa getting some good shape on that forehand today. This was straightforward.
Did not face a break point on his own serve. Won nearly 60% of his return points. Domination, great experience for the kid. Let's hear from Nadal.
How much pleasure are you getting out of this, playing in front of a packed crowd, in front of your family as well?
Well, it's great. No, for me, you know, after how the things developed the last few years, every time that I had the chance to be on court on this amazing stadium with, you know, an unconditional supportive crowd means a lot to me. No, so we're just trying to enjoy every moment and. Tomorrow, one more day of practice here, and after tomorrow again on court. So that makes me feel great.
So, Coco, after hearing Rafa say that he would not play Roland Garros with the way he was feeling before this match, what do you think now?
Well, I mean, Andy said it best yesterday. Rafa is the king of underselling what his performance is going to look like on the clay court swing. I mean, I know he was playing a very different opponent in the 16-year-old, and what a fantastic experience. I know there's been a couple of knocks about the wild cards and who should get them, who shouldn't, but every player has to have this kind of experience out there, and hopefully you hope that your wild card doesn't put you up against Rafa Nadal, the king of clay. But he was looking absolutely fantastic, Rafa. But I do have some questions on his serve. It wasn't really, you know, in the placement zones where you want it to be. Yes, he was cranking a couple in, which we haven't seen for a while. But so much about serving is not just about pace. You have to hit your targets and you have to get it to start curling away. We know Rafa's going to be rock solid from the ground. That never changes. But in order to last in that 3 out of 5 situation of Roland Garros, he's got to get some cheap points off of his serve, and that comes from the serve placement.
Quick match certainly helps for Nadal and his health, Andy. What's your biggest takeaway for both of these guys, starting with Rafa?
Yeah, I actually don't think we learned anything today, Steve. Listen, if Rafa has time from the middle of the court on a clay court, he's going to be dominant. I don't know that that's ever been in question. What Coco mentioned in the serve, he's still not going after it. I think that's by design at this point. Did we learn that Rafa is better than any 16-year-old on the planet on clay currently? Yes. Is this a fair representation of Darren Blanche's progress? No. Playing a guy who is the most fluent on any surface of any player, it's the kind of the matchup of listen, my surface, the peak of my powers is probably the single most daunting task in tennis history with Rafa on clay. Listen, I don't know that we learned anything. I think, you know, was it going to be 2-2 or was it going to be 1-0? Doesn't really matter in the grand scheme of things. But as you said, I guess the positive takeaway is Rafa is going to get another chance to get matches and prove to himself that his body's okay.
We learned nothing today, but maybe we'll learn something in the next match. It's a rematch against Alex de Minaur. Looking forward to that one for Nadal. Meantime, on the women's side, there are two previous champions in the draw. Ange Jabeur, one of them. She took the title a couple years ago over Jessie Pegula. Jabeur was 17-4 on clay that year, including this, the biggest title of her career. Coming in this year, though, having lost 6 of her last 7 matches, taking on Anna Karolina Shmidlova, Coco.
Yes, and this was really a test to see where Ons was at. I mean, it was definitely, we haven't seen the best of her this season. And we were missing shots just like this, a tweener right here. And Anna Karolina could not handle the volley. The pressure was mounting too much, and you can't let a tweener go by you. But as we've seen, and what we've seen all season, is Ons's health is always in question, not only from an injury standpoint, but also from an illness standpoint. And what can she do week in and week out when you're constantly not feeling at your best? Because it's not just at the tournaments. You're losing practice weeks. You're losing your rhythm and your cadence on your ground strokes, your serve, and what you're supposed to do. And you forget how to win. And that happens very quickly. But Ons able to level through and just manage to fight through every situation that was afforded to her in this match.
Now you see what it means to her and her team. An important victory for Ange Jabeur. Hopefully healthy moving forward in this draw. Naomi Osaka, playing on back-to-back days, had a nice first-round win, but struggled early against Ludmila Samsonova in a rematch from Indian Wells.
Samsonova was absolutely serving lights out in this first set. Really, everything is dictated off of the first serve, what she's able to do on that first ball. And Samsonova was really taking it to Naomi Osaka. There's not many people that you could say out there that can out-hit Naomi from the back of the court. But she did such a good job coming back, being down a break, and Samsonova getting a little bit tight, but Naomi forcing the issue, coming forward to the net, taking away these longer extended rallies, and stopped being stubborn in these rallies. She was really trying to go toe-to-toe, match Samsonova in the pace department, but she really couldn't hold it up in this third set. The movement definitely struggled, and Samsonova got back into her service rhythm and really cleaned it up.
36 winners to 22 for Osaka. First match win since February for Ludmila Samsonova. Much needed one as Osaka out of the tournament. How about Coco Gauff starting her Madrid Open against Arantxa Rus? Spain most well known for paella, Andy, but the U.S. Open champ serving New York-style bagels.
Yeah, this got a little weird, Steve. I got to be honest. The 0-0 clock was on. We were wondering how Coco was going to come out of the gates here in Madrid. We might have overthought it because she looked great today. Defense in full flight. Serve was landing. You were just watching this wondering how she was actually going to lose points. It would have taken shots like that hitting. You miss by an inch. It makes a big difference. But 22-minute first set. Just the kind of start she wanted to have. She needs some matches like this where she's just kind of going roller derby straight through someone. A lot of her matches this year have gotten extended. She's fighting back. It feels like everything's a tussle. In order for her to get a little bit momentum, she needs these days where it's easy breezy. Like I said, this got weird. 0-0. Never fun. Always awkward to watch.
Some people want all the smoke. She wants all the carbs. First ever double bagel at this level. Prakash with the right questions.
Can we call that a perfect match?
Yeah, definitely. It's a perfect match. First time I've ever double bageled before, so I'm happy with how I started.
Better tennis player Zendaya or better actress Coco Gauff?
Definitely. Probably she's the better tennis player. I did one acting episode on All American Homecoming, and that was I watched it once and would never watch it again. I did awful, but I haven't seen the full clip of Challengers, but I did see like the trailer, and she actually did pretty well. I know that they movie cut things, but tennis is the hardest sport I think to replicate when it comes to like that. Even when I did like basketball for like a Marvel's commercial, I did terrible at replicating that, and I feel like just people are more acquainted with basketball than tennis, so I can't imagine coming from nothing to play tennis, but definitely Zendaya is the better tennis player.
I don't know, after that match, who knows? I think they're both at the height of their powers, by the way. Challengers out tomorrow, theaters nationwide. It's good. Saw the premiere of that one. Perfection for Coco Gauff?
Well, first and foremost, I think we all saw you in that velvet jacket at that premiere. Steve getting the lock-in for the red carpet out there, but I really love this match from Coco Gauff. I think it's definitely a really big moment for her to prove herself, because there's always been that question mark of not that she's a top player, but is she a consistent Grand Slam champion? Is she a consistent 1000s contender? And what I loved most was what she was doing with her forehand out there in Madrid. She was able to go heavy topspin and get good margin on the ball and be aggressive with it that way, because we've seen Coco be rushed and make a lot of airs off of it. And she was able to get it high and heavy and then step forward and drive through it. So a lot of change of pace, a lot of rushing her opponents. And maybe once she gets through these matches where she has the easy wins against different formidable opponents, then it feels more comfortable when you're going against a bigger hitter that I'm ready to try this against somebody that's going to match me strike for strike, power for power, instead of what we've seen in previous matches of her kind of faltering, making the mistakes here or there, especially on the forehand wing.
She's got Diana Yastremska next, Andy. I feel like you've double bageled somebody in your career. What's it like to play the next match after a perfect match?
Yeah, not since I was like 9. Believe it or not, Steve, I didn't break serve that much. But I think this was the win that that Coco needed. When the serve falls, she gets good looks at that forehand. She's not getting rushed through that forehand side. I don't think we give Coco enough credit for clay. She's made the finals of the French Open, kind of rehabbed her clay court season last year by making quarters there. I think this court actually does her some favors, allows her forehand to get up and away a little bit. But listen, I was someone who needed a lot of match reps to feel good and to create habits in the short term. I think Coco is the same. It feels like there's been a lot of stops and starts to her year. So I do think she needs some of these easy matches to kind of build that habit of, okay, let's start off strong, let's finish strong. We're not going to kind of have this inner struggle, of which, by the way, I mean that in the most complimentary way possible. Coco is maybe the best in the world at playing average and getting W's, but you don't want to have to grind every single day. This looked good.
Only lost 18 points in 12 games. Pretty good stuff for Coco Gauff as she continues her run in Madrid. A lot more still to come here on TC Live. The teenager showdown. We got the 19-year-old American Alex Mickelson, the 17-year-old Brazilian João Fonseca. Who would win in 3? And we have scoured all the feeds from all the courts in Madrid to find our hot shot of the day. You don't want to miss it. Coming up later on TC Live.
Hey, Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at NewBalance.com.
Hi there, tennis fans. I'm Fox weather meteorologist Marissa Torres, and here is tomorrow's Madrid Open forecast in Spain. Mostly cloudy skies with highs in the mid-60s. Remember, you can download the Fox Weather app or stream Fox Weather from your favorite connected TV device.
Thank you, Marissa. Well, we've got you covered on T2 Friday. Matches starting at 5 a.m. Eastern. Denis Shapovalov in action. The rematch from Monte Carlo between Jack Draper and Hubie Hurkacz. Sebi Baez taking on Luka Van Asha, and Shelby Rogers in action against the 7-seed Marketa Vondrousova. That leads into second serve on T2 at 8 a.m. Eastern. Some incredible guests, both in studio and out, scheduled for Friday. Larry Fitzgerald, Kamau Murray, Zena Garrison, Hall of Famer Tracy Austin back with Nick Monroe and Jeff Chisover to take you through all the action on second serve. Well, back to Madrid we go. How about Elena Svitolina taking on the hometown favorite in Sara Cerebes-Tormo, Coco?
Listen, once you start getting a long, extended grunt from your opponent on the other side of the court, you know you're in for a long day on a clay court. It is no fun to play a Spaniard in Spain, especially on these courts. And Cerebes-Tormo just absolutely dictating with the forehand, really frustrating Svitolina. She was really pulling the trigger super quickly, something that you don't see Svitolina do too often. And Cerebes-Tormo just absolutely finding her forehand constantly, able to hide the weaker backhand and just getting that spin heavier and heavier into the Svitolina forehand. And you can see she just kind of has no answer. A drop shot is kind of a cop-out where you don't know what to do anymore. Cerebes-Tormo coming out with straight set victory.
What a reaction from her. Seventh career top 20 win. Three of them have come at this tournament. Incredible stuff. She loves playing at home. Maria Sakkari making her sixth main draw appearance in Madrid. Best result, semis 2023. But just 3-6 lifetime against Donna Vekic.
No, and Donna is a tough opponent for Sakkari on any other surface but clay, because Donna can hit through the court, can really control the middle of the court, and control the baseline real estate. But what Sakkari has on this surface that Donna doesn't is her movement and speed, being able to transition not only forward and back, but side to side, and being able to stay in an offensive mindset and make defense turn into offense, just like that point right there to take the first set. And then the second set, you really start seeing Maria start dictating with her forehand, something that we haven't seen too often in the latter stages of last year, being able to have the confidence to stay in those longer forehand rallies, get the topspin, get the heaviness back.
Told Prakash she'd been struggling on her serve in practice. Not today. Seven aces, won 70% of her points on serve. Well, the future on display, Andy. 19-year-old American Alex Mickelson and 17-year-old wildcard João Fonseca.
Yeah, and the battle of the prospects who pretended like they were going to college longer than they actually were. Mickelson against Fonseca. Mickelson, tough, always competes, always shows you how much he wants to stay there. But this kid can rip a forehand. Fonseca was impressive down in South America earlier this year, and he gets a forehand whenever he wants. That footwork right there, and then to set, he froze Mickelson and then was just picking him off on the forehand side time and time again. That one's brutal because you think a drop shot's coming. I mean, this guy's forehand, next level, Steve. You feel like you're watching someone who will be a top 10 player. That foot speed already and the ability to create speed off of that forehand side, super impressive. 0-2 in the last two sets. That is a beating considering Mickelson does not give you anything. Very, very impressive stuff.
Saved all four break points in the third, up to a career high. Well-deserved wild card for the 17-year-old coming through in that sort of form.
Oh, that was super impressive. We saw a little bit of a taste of what his game has in that golden swing of in Rio and in Argentina. It was so impressive to see him back it up. And I think this is definitely some influence of what's to come for the young Brazilian, of what he can do and what he is able to possess. But tough loss for Mickelson. That's something that you want to win. You're going against a wild card. You definitely want to get that scalp right there to get some points, get some cushion going into the rest of this European swing. But definitely a stepping stone and a learning curve for both players.
Does Fonseca's game remind you of anyone, Andy?
his footwork reminds me, he kind of has those like hop steps, right? But he's always in position. Reminds me a little bit of Alex Krejcia. If you remember, he kind of had that footwork and then he would kind of unload on the forehead at the last minute after you got set. Time and time again today, and especially in that highlight, he would get around when he had time, almost do that little jump step. Mickelson would freeze, and then he could kind of pick him off either way out of that forehand corner. But this kid can let it rip, Tater Chip. I'm telling you, if you can create speed at 17 years old and your footwork is already that fluent at 17 years old, this guy's going to be a problem.
Let it rip, Tater Chip.
I mean, it's just dadism's going to just keep coming out the longer and longer we have Andy here.
Yeah, I got him for days. Let's go.
The sneaky Magoo yesterday. I mean, you never know what's going to drop out of Roddick's mouth here on TC Live. When we come back, Danielle Collins has won back-to-back events, 13 straight matches. What our experts have to say about her chances to win in Madrid. Don't go anywhere.
Danielle.
The Danimal, just savage mode right now.
She's playing some inspired tennis.
The hottest player on tour.
The roll just keeps on going for Danielle Collins.
13 wins in a row now.
She's playing some of the best tennis of her career.
Stay bothered. Take a look at what Danny has done. 13 wins in a row, has won 26 of her last 27 sets. Absolute domination. Three of those wins coming against top 10 opponents. And from the start of Miami, was ranked outside the top 50. Now back as a top 15 player in the world. Now in Madrid, coming off that title in Charleston, Coco. What has impressed you the most over her back-to-back trophy runs?
I mean, just who DC is. I mean, she does not really care what anyone has to say about her, thinks about her, or even her opponents when she gets out on the court. And that's something that a lot of players and a lot of juniors can take something from. Whoever is on the other side of the net, it doesn't bother her. She could be facing the number one in the world. She could be facing the number 200 in the world. She is coming out with the same fire and same paralysis each and every time. And what has changed so much in her demeanor and everything that she goes about it is she's just doing things that make it fun for her. And I had dinner with her in Charleston before she came out and played. And she's like, you know, I just wanted to be by myself. I didn't feel like I needed anyone here. And, you know, just grab dinner with friends and enjoy everything that Charleston has to offer. And that's something that she has come to that realization now that she's announced that she's going to finish at the end of this year. And it's so good to see players coming to terms with their career, terms with themselves, and being able to finish how they want to.
Yeah, I mean, she knows exactly who she is and what she's all about. Only Mr. Dog, Quincy, a little bit there in Charleston. but she was telling me, listen, I want a trophy in Palermo back in the day. I can win on this clay. People don't give me enough respect. Then she went out and won Charleston, Andy. How will her game translate to the red clay in Madrid?
Well, if she's striking the ball like she was in Miami and Charleston, she could pretty much play on a baseball field. I think it wouldn't really matter. But the thing that impressed me most in Miami and in Charleston was how aggressive her swings were in the delta between that and the wrist. Like, she was taking massive cuts, but to big spaces on the court. Right. So her air count was way down compared to what it normally is for her in Miami and Charleston. Now, has she kept up momentum? We don't know what she's been doing on the practice court. The clay in Europe is a little bit more slippery, right? So for those of us who, I don't want to speak for Coco, but I will speak for myself. For those of us who aren't native movers to clay, the grittiness of a hard-true court or an American clay court feels like salt, right? When you rub it between your fingers. When you get to Europe, it feels more like baking powder, right? It is a little bit more slippery. It's going to be interesting to see not how she hits it. She's a ball striker, but how the movement is affected and how that affects the way that she can set up points.
We know when Danielle Collins is playing her best tennis, which she is right now, she can beat absolutely anyone on the planet. The path to victory in Madrid is not going to be an easy one. As you take a look at the projected road, Coco.
This is what happens at 1,000 events, that you are facing tougher and tougher opponents as you go. That fourth round obviously looming against Sabalenka. But DC is fearless. I mean, she is seeing the tennis ball like a beach ball, and winning breeds more winning. And so I think Danielle is going to be the one to beat and the one for everyone to chase because she has the hot hand.
All right, she is the one to beat in Madrid. You heard it here first from Coco Vandeweghe. Speaking of the ones to beat, it is the start of the NFL draft today. I know both of y'all are fans of football and all sorts of sports. So, Andy, with that in mind, who are you picking with your number one draft pick in the 2024 Roland Garros men's singles draft to take the title?
Yeah, it's a pretty easy call considering we have no idea what Novak's going to play. We don't know the status of Alcaraz's arm. We don't know if Rafa's going to be in full flight. So who does that leave? I guess Sinner? Not because we don't know what's happening. There are so many question marks on the men's side right now at Roland Garros. Who's coming in? Health dictates a lot of the conversation. If Rafa can get ahead of steam and actually get some matches in the next two events, I wouldn't want to see him on the other side. You can never bet against Novak. But I guess push come to shove right now, I'm betting on health. And I think Sinner's been the healthiest of everyone in that conversation most recently.
All right. So Andy's going Jannik Sinner. Now, as the draft goes, you now have the second pick. So I don't think you can pick Sinner. Who are you taking?
No, I'm going to put my GM hat on, and I'm going to go with consistency and solidness. And I'm going to go with Novak Djokovic. I think that he's a tough one to bet against. And I know after the couple losses that he has taken as of late, there's going to be a chip on his shoulder. And no one wants to face an angry Novak Djokovic with extra motivation. So I'll keep that GM hat on, and I'm going with Novak Djokovic.
All right. Novak Djokovic, Jannik Sinner, both great picks tomorrow. You are both up for the women's first-round pick in the Roland Garros singles draft. But first, we've got some doubles action to show you. Sophia Kenin, Bethany Mattek-Sands won the title in Miami earlier this year, took out Aaron Routliffe in the final. Different partner today with Charleston Dubs champ Ashlyn Kruger. Watch that, though. Tough moment here, Coco, as Routliffe hits Beth right in the head.
Straight to the dome. Oh. Tennis is not a contact sport. Yikes. That never feels good, not only physically, but the ego is... It's definitely hurt.
It would come down to a match tiebreak. This is a high-level dubs match.
I mean, at this point, we're here for the handshake because after taking a nice tag, you know Bethany's coming at you. I mean, Aaron's got to be ready. That call's coming straight to your face right back. That's for sure. That's what's happening.
Kenin and Mattek-Sands get the win 11-9 in that match tiebreak. Could face Coco Gauff and Taylor Townsend. In the next round, Andy, have you ever been hit in the head like that with a tennis ball?
By my own partner, not by someone else. Ooh. That was as square of a hit as you will ever see on a tennis court. You don't often, and Bethany Mattek-Sands is tough, right? You got to hit her square in order to make her take a seat for a second.
Not only tough, but I mean, she has really fast hands. So that was surprising.
It never feels good to get hit on the doubles court, and especially as square as that. I mean, I've been pegged quite a few times as much as I've played doubles. The worst I got was I got hit in the neck at Wimbledon, and it was off of Panetta's racket. That was a pretty solid one. That hurt. It left a nice little bruise.
Yeah.
But I was still in the single, so I was like, man, now I got to show up on center court for my quarters with a nice little bruise on my collarbone. And I was like, this is going to look great.
Yeah, like, what is that? All right, a lot to get to tomorrow. Take a look at our schedule on a Friday. Live tennis on Tennis Channel and T2 begins bright and early, 5 a.m. Eastern. Second serve back at it at 8 a.m. Eastern. The three of us with TC Live at 3 p.m. Eastern and encore coverage all night long. You've been waiting for the hot shot. It's coming up next.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Andy, Coco, Steve back with you on TC Live. It's Hot Shot time, Roddick. What do we have?
We have a hot point, like an exciting point. I want your opinion on this hot shot. I feel like the shot was good, maybe made a little better because I know what that feels like, laying sod over a volley. If she puts this volley away the way that she maybe should, I don't think we're talking about it, Steve, but fun shot anyways.
Great shot. Vekic made it a hot shot. So they both get a little credit for this one.
Yeah.
Let's take a look at our featured matches on a Friday, starting 5 a.m. Eastern. Elena Rybakina. We've got Aryna Sabalenka taking the court. Alcaraz as well. Taylor Fritz with a tough one. Zverev and Chorich. And then Danielle Collins wrapping up the session on Manolo Santana. For more on these matches, let's head back to our desk in Madrid with Danny and Prakash.
All right, Steve, back here at our Tennis Channel FanDuel desk. Prakash, Carlos Alcaraz in action against Alexander Shevchenko. We haven't seen Alcaraz since his loss to Grigor Dimitrov in Miami. It's been a while. What should we expect from the Spaniard?
Well, Shevchenko actually played really well here last year. Took out J.J. Wolf, beat Lehecka 1-1, almost took out Daniil Medvedev. So I think the conditions are good for him. But coming in, having lost a couple of matches on the clay, not playing his best tennis so far. As long as Carlos is healthy, I think we're going to see quite a bit of his signature. Getting a little something from the crowd, lighten it up, and coming through.
Will definitely be an electric atmosphere to watch the defending champion in action. Going to be a great Friday of action here in Madrid.
All right, thanks so much. He is the defending champion. He is the two-time defending champion, looking to become the first man to go back-to-back-to-back in Madrid. Nobody's done it, not even Rafa Nadal. Andy, so what do you expect to see tomorrow from Carlitos, the Chuckster, as you call him?
Yeah, I think it's just a health check, right? That's what we want to see. We want to see if he's going to let a rip tater chip. There you go, Coco. going to actually free it up or not. A trend that we're seeing, right? He's won twice in Indian Wells in his young career. He's won twice in Madrid in his young career. When the air is thin and the ball is jumping, that is when Carlitos is at his best. He loves these type of conditions. So I think this is a nice matchup for him. He's going to get some balls to hit. He's not coming in against someone who's going to serve bombs where he can't get into rallies. He wants repetitions at this point. I have a hard time thinking if his arm injury was terrible. Listen, you have to protect Roland Garros and your opportunity there. I expect to see him healthy.
No, I absolutely agree with Andy. I think this is a moment for Carlitos to actually prove to everyone what he's made of and what he's going to produce come this clay court season, because he is one to watch out for in this clay court season. And he's chasing Sinner along the way, someone that he's had a good rivalry with these past couple of tournaments and that everyone's been looking at. So this is definitely benchmark moments for Carlos. And plus, he's got the fresh fade. You got to love it. You got to love it. You look good, play good, feel good, all of that. All of that.
Love the fresh fade. And as Prakash said, look, it's in Spain. He's going to be like, come on, come on. These are my people here. Carlitos in action tomorrow. A lot of big names. Aryna Sabalenka looking forward to seeing her take the court once again in Madrid. Taylor Fritz. All the action starts at 5 a.m. Eastern. For Andy and Coco, I'm Steve. So thank you so much for watching TC Live today. Rafa Nadal, the big winner on the court as the action from Madrid continues next.